Welcome to Guys We Fuck,
the anti-slut shaming podcast.
Yo, you haven't said?
I'm Christina Hutchins.
I'm Corinne Fisher.
And I'm your boyfriend. Bring us your slutty, your horny, and your shame.
Hey, you a slut?
Yes. Okay.
Let's talk about fucking.
Greetings, fuckers. How you doing? Where you been? Who you doing it with? Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
It's the anti-slut-shaming podcast. I'm Corinne Fisher.
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
Welcome to our show.
Are you going to be in Los Angeles on Saturday, May 11th?
At 9:45 p.m.
At the Regent Theater?
Well, we're going to be there, so we hope that you're there too.
And we hope that you've bought a ticket so far ago.
Yes.
So long ago.
Yes. This is for a live recording of the Guys We Fuck podcast, which is the same podcast that you're already ingesting right
and
now.
And you know what?
Means you like it.
If you're tired of the spiel is going to go up until we sell
out. We're
going
to keep doing this.
So if you want if us to upset, shut the fuck up, you buy tickets.
Yeah, this
you
is a tickets. Threat that this will continue happening.
Whatever works.
Until our appearance at the Netflix is a Joke Festival is sold out. Because as we've told you time and time before, we're already on such thin
Netflix
ice with Netflix.
Honestly, it feels like a pity casting.
I guess someone canceled.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. We were made aware of in a timely manner. So I don't
know that. Oh, right. Yeah.
So it does
like everybody had their announcements, although we didn't get our graphics until later. But
they were working on the assets. I don't know why it took so long, but probably because I just kept sending them weird photos. But that's because I didn't like the ones they were picking. I didn't like the ones they were picking.
No.
Okay.
When people pick your photos for you, especially if it's a guy, it's like, how do you think that's a good photo?
It's like they sat under you and took a picture from the perspective of your chin.
It was as if Bill Maher chose the photo.
Oh, my God. That guy.
Oh, wait.
Oh, we didn't promote our appearance.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
did
we
you
shouldn't.
Want to promote it?
I mean, whatever. It's out there.
I also think we should read in the coming episodes, not now because this is a really long email, but like more of those comments.
Oh, yeah.
It's so funny. And I'd love to be...
Not a lot of overlap between Guys We Fucked and Bill Maher fans. Who would have thought?
What? That's crazy.
Really? Yeah. Really kind of crazy.
Yeah. I love being at a place where a negative... On my Instagram, I won't let things go only because like I want people to be better. But like something like Bill Maher's YouTube comment section, I'm like, this is hilarious.
Well,
like
the more comments just jog the algorithm. So I go,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, keep
say
going,
whatever
baby.
You want.
Keep it going.
This is great. I love it.
If you want to email us, it's sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. Today's subject line, I'm low contact with my mom and I don't know why. You probably have a clue. Hi, Corinne and Christina, longtime fucker, love the show. 28-year-old female living in Australia. Hello. This email is so long, I'll get to the point. Well, it's also still long, but that's okay. I wanted to read it. I have a super complicated relationship with my mother, and it feels like it's really coming to a head now. I take in so much childhood trauma content online, which be careful about that. Look at other things. Look at cartoons. Something that makes you happy doesn't make you think about this shit. You can't think about it all
well,
the time.
Well, and also be careful who you're taking it in from, because a lot of these people are psychos and idiots.
Yeah, and they're still traumatized and haven't really done the hard work.
Yeah.
When you're working through trauma, you kind of have to go through the desert, go to the desert and die and come back in a way. It's not necessary for every single person, but it is the most potent way to get through it. I take in so much childhood trauma content online and weird mother-daughter relationship content, and I've never found someone who has the issue I'm having with my mother. I distance myself from her. I'm low contact at this point, and I feel super uncomfortable with her, but I don't have a good reason why. Well, the body keeps the score, okay? Wish it didn't, but it does. So maybe you feel unsafe for reasons that your conscious brain can't identify. I'm an only child. Mom and dad are still together and have a good relationship. They both worked full time from when I was 6 months old. I never experienced anything super traumatic in my upbringing. My parents are very close with their respective families and I'm the odd one out. Maybe past life thing. I want to preface this by saying I remember barely any of my childhood. Okay, that is a huge red flag. So children have this kind of brilliant mechanism that they are all born with where every child looks up to their mother and father like they're God, right? Because they're the ones responsible for your food and shelter and clothing and love and everything you need your parent has to give you. And so sometimes when the parent is abusive, the child will internalize that and go, well, there must be something I'm doing to make them like this so that you can physically handle the fact that the person who's supposed to raise you is dangerous. A child would basically die if they really came to that realization at a young age with a young nervous system. So keep in mind that if you don't remember your childhood and you have big blackout moments, that is a sign that you gotta go to therapy. Mainly from negative things. Okay, so I want to preface this by saying I barely remember any of my childhood, not a lot from teenagehood, mainly the negative things. So I'm working with what I can for the background. My mom and I fought quite a lot when I was a teenager, probably a normal amount for what I can compare to my female friends. We argued mostly about two main things, studying and cleaning. My mom worked hard to move up in the corporate ladder in her career, but it took her a long time as she didn't go to university. When she was in her 40s, she would come home from a long day of work and have to spend the evening studying to get promotions. I remember her saying she didn't want me to have to be doing this when I was her age. She really wanted me to get a good enough grades to go to university. I had no clue what I wanted to do growing up and wasn't super academically inclined. She made more money than my dad, who worked a blue-collar job and had no interest in moving up a ladder. She was always getting on at me to study, do my homework in the evenings after school. I tried, but I was not really motivated, and oftentimes I would sit at the dining table with all my books out for hours, getting nothing done. Side note, last year I was diagnosed with ADHD, which explains so much about this and why I couldn't clean. The cleaning arguments were about me not cleaning up after myself around the house or not doing chores that were assigned to me. I was definitely hard work as a teen. I remember us having screaming matches at each other that always started with either cleaning or studying issues. This went on from around the age of 14 to 17. There were a few core arguments that are burned in my memory. I dyed my natural hair from blonde to brunette with a home dye kit when I was home alone at the age of 12 or 13. I mean, that's like a typical, yeah. You get into trouble when you're that age because you don't know. My mom had explicitly told me no every time I asked to dye my hair, and one day I just did it myself. She was so apocalyptic? Is that what it's just? Apoplectic?
I don't know what that word is. I'll look it
up. Apoplectic.
I don't know what that is.
I'm like, I don't know many words, but I'll know if that's the word. A-P-O-P-L-E-C-T.
Oh, overcome with anger. Oh. Indignant.
Wow. Oh. I learned a new word today.
Like, it has to be a real word because it's not underlined. I knew
right,
that. So.
Right, right, right. She was so apoplectic. Wow. Love that word. She couldn't speak. She didn't speak to me for a week. Oh, that stinks. Had that. I remember thinking she must have told my dad not to speak to me either because my dad was always pretty chill and wouldn't give a shit if I dyed my hair, and he didn't speak to me for a couple days either.
That's such, yes.
And it's like when a parent gives the child the silent treatment, fuck you. Okay. Okay. I hate that. The second is when I was 19, I was on vacation without them visiting family abroad when I decided to book a tattoo appointment with an artist I'd followed for ages. I knew she didn't approve of tattoos. Well, you're 19, so fuck it. So I thought I was being mature when I gave her a heads up, message about the 2-inch tattoo on the back of my ankle the night before the appointment. I woke up to an essay from her about how it was the worst thing I could do. Some highlights, quote, "You have the ability to excel in the highest level. A lot of that is to do with your beauty." So that's a weird thing to say. Another quote, "If you wanted to chop all your hair off, it would be catastrophic, but it's not permanent." Another quote, "You're perfect, just don't spoil it. Respect my wishes. People with tattoos look trashy and always regret it," etc. She also got my cousins, my grandma, my aunt, and a family friend to send me messages urging me not to do it. This is fucking psychotic. Yeah, your mom's fucking psychotic. Our moms should be friends.
This is really weird behavior.
Yeah.
Just like as someone who is coming from not weird behavior,
yeah.
I'm going to tell you, this is not, I know, like when you, and you started the email being like, I have nothing really traumatic for my
child. It's always, dude.
This is insane.
It's people with the worst childhoods, almost always, they're like, my childhood was normal. I don't remember any of it, but it was
That's
normal.
Why everyone always questions mine. I go, no, but mine seriously was. I go, I don't have time. And I was like, I don't have the time to discuss this any further because this is actually crazy.
Yeah. And there's nothing like seeing your mother's behavior reflected in the eyes of your friends and loved ones around you. And then for the first time, you're like, wait, is that fucked up? Was that fucked up the whole time? Yep, it was. And third, I was booking a solo trip to travel to California when I was 21. I was going to stay in a hostel in San Diego and do a little bit of traveling while I was there. She was on board at first, trying to push through her anxieties. You're fucking 21. Like, she needs, she's putting her tit in your mouth. But eventually, 2 weeks before the trip, she broke down crying and begged me not to go because she was so anxious and thought I was naive and people would take advantage of me.
Like her?
Yeah, exactly. She's fucking projecting. I decided to cancel the trip. You were young. Because she was in such a state until I came to my senses and decided to have the adventure over to protect her feelings. Okay, so how old are you now?
21.
21. Oh, you're still 21 now?
Oh, no. 28
now. So 7 years ago. Okay. Keep in mind, these are the big three I can remember. So technically, these could have been the most traumatic points in our relationship. Nope, if you can't remember them, they weren't. But as an adult now, I don't know if all these things listed above warrant a low contact, almost no contact at this point, relationship.
Well, the things are, so if these are the three things that stand out, these behavior, like these can't be isolated because these to me show so much more about who she is and how she interacted with you as a child.
Like she thinks she's like you're an extension of her.
Like that, like that, like the tattoo and the hair, like the, her over obsession with your aesthetic, like that something like that would never be isolated. That would leak into every part of your relationship. There's no way it couldn't.
And let me tell you something, like even just a critical, overly critical parent, that chips away at your soul. And maybe logically you love them in quotes, but really your body is reacting to. So that's why when you said you're low contact and don't know why, I'm like, it's your body telling you, nah, not this bitch. The objective positive things, she worked a lot to provide financially for the family. She got me enrolled in extracurriculars. She got me tutors for the subjects I was struggling in. She got me nice things for birthdays and Christmases.
Okay, well, she's obsessed with you being perfect. She says that to you already.
Yeah. She is objectively a very caring person. Well, as long as you're doing everything she likes. Her family really appreciates her. She's very generous and selfless. Also note here, a lot of times, like a mother can be one way to her daughter and then be a total angel to everybody else. Okay? Sometimes that happens. You guys, imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Well, Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50. What? The best part is Quince items are all priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. And I freaking love that for everybody involved. I love Quince. You can get so many items on there. Their sweaters are so soft. I have this beautiful hunter green purse that I carry around all the time. I always get compliments on it. And I'm like, guys, it's from Quince, okay? It looks really bougie. Oh, I love it so much. Indulge in affordable luxury, guys. Go to quince.com/GWF for free shipping on your order and 365 days returns. That's quince.com, quince.com/GWF to get free shipping and 365 day returns. quince.com/GWF. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? Is it drained? You know, we wake up in the morning, we have a tank of gas, and then the tank gets depleted over the day. And therapy can really help with that, okay? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or your gas tank. I love therapy. I'm a huge advocate for it. Getting stuff off your chest alone is really helpful. But when you're talking to a licensed therapist that can actually give you tips and tricks and homework, it just makes it all the more better. And honestly, your friends will appreciate you not bugging them all the time. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief survey and get matched with a licensed therapist. And you could switch therapists every time because therapy, finding a therapist, it's like dating. They're not all going to work out. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/guys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/guys. In hindsight, I started feeling distance from her around age 18 and withdrawing from a relationship subconsciously. I was polite and still living at home, but I didn't go to her for advice or for a casual chat. I spent a lot of time in my room after college. This went on for years. I honestly can't remember much of our relationship at this time, but I wasn't spending loads of time at home, social life, going out, etc. I met my long-term boyfriend at age 19, so I was spending a lot of time with him too. By the time she begged me not to go to California, it must have been bad because I remember her sobbing, saying, "I wish you knew me when I was your age." There it is. We would have been best friends.
Dude, there's nothing worse than the best friend. Mom is such if people think it's a good thing, it's like a very bad thing.
It's very bad. Do you know my mom and I had best friend necklaces?
Christina.
I gave them to her.
Chris,
I was like 26.
How old were you? What?
It was, yeah.
when you were 26?
Yeah, I knew it would make her happy. I didn't know, but at the time.
Did you feel like she was your best friend? Because I mean, I feel like my mom is one of my best friends, but I would never give her a best friend's
name. No, I did not feel she was my best friend in any way, but oh, I was hiding it.
Did. But like, I was it was when I was an myself. Adult, you know? So like if you become best friends as adults, that's fine. But like if any time during your adolescence you feel like your mom is your and not in like a cutesy way, it's hard because it's like
Rory and Lorelai, like that wasn't as toxic.
I'm on the third time around watching that series. Oh. It's actually very toxic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're not speaking right now. It's toxic.
Oh
yeah. It's no, right. when you go to the inner depths of that show, the way I've gone, every watch I go, this is actually wildly unhealthy.
By the time I moved out of home by age 22, I would do the duty visit at home every few weeks, and I always felt uncomfortable around her at that point. This is exactly, you're younger than me when you started experiencing this, but I was basically, my body couldn't take being around my mother, and I felt really guilty about that. Mm. And then I would start being a bitch to her, and she would be like, why are you being a bitch? And she wasn't wrong. Like, I wasn't being polite, but it was because she had chipped away at my soul and my bones from day one since then that I wouldn't allow myself to see it. So I think you're just starting to allow yourself to see these things. It was like she switched and became a different person. Nah, you're probably just realizing she sucked. She was overbearingly caring and helpful and affectionate. I found it needy and weird, and it made me pull away more.
Sure. Yeah,
that'll do that. This dynamic continued over the years, and I guess became more and more awkward because I just felt no connection to her. Yeah, because she's not coming from a place of love and actually caring about you or being curious about you. I felt uncomfortable with her in person and was less and less inclined to reply to her messages. I could see logically that she was working so hard to be the main financial provider for the family. She admitted in one of our two deep conversations that dad wasn't a very active parent, and she felt she had to be the disciplinarian and the emotional support and everything else.
Okay.
I can attest to this. As I've said before, dad was chill. Dads are always chill. And I have no problem talking to him now. Ironic.
I will step in here and say, I think part of growing up is also there's usually one parent who's doing more work. And as an adult, as a kid, you don't see that. It just seems like one parent is like stressed and mean and one parent's chill. Know that the chill parent is most likely not doing enough work in the parenting relationship. So like you do have empathy towards the parent who had to take on the burden. Like it wasn't your fault, but like, I think to have empathy and like realize that our parents are human is a very important part of growing up as well.
The mother tax is fucking awful, and one reason why I don't want to have kids. I moved from the home, the UK, to Australia in 2022. She has gotten more and more needy and clingy, sending me super long messages about how she doesn't cope well without me. Codependent. How she thinks I'll never come home, that she wants to know why I'm like this. Oh God, I'm getting PTSD. Jesus fuck.
Yeah, I was like, the why I'm like this. I feel like that your mom sent you like that exact message.
Yep. Oh man. Why I don't speak to her. We have had two big conversations about our relationship in the last 4 years. All I can tell her is what I've said above, and that therapists have said she didn't meet my needs as a child. She can, don't try to make her understand that.
And that's that there is a part of me that even though I am pro therapy, it's saying what some therapist who's known you for like a year has to your parent who's known you for, it feels like a fucking fuck you. If I was a parent and some fucking, I even had an ex-boyfriend who I knew obviously super well, and his therapist is sending him home, his therapist of like 3 weeks sending him home with shit about me. I was like, I will go and fuck your therapist up. And I said that to him. And I actually was so vindicated because he came back to me and he goes, yeah, that therapist actually sucks. I go, well, good. I said, I have a message for your therapist. Tell her to go fuck herself. And I said, literally, please tell her that. And I think maybe he did.
Corinne Fisher.
I hope he did. I said, she's unqualified. Get the fuck out of my face. I'm not saying don't, but I just think that we have to really work the empathy in some ways.
Yeah, I will say when I worked with a trauma specialist therapist for a really long time. And when I was talking to her about my mother, I was still on the cusp of like, well, this wasn't traumatic. It was, she was like, your mom tried to kill herself every time you had a milestone. And I was like, yeah, but she's ill. And it's like, she still didn't paint my mother as an evil person. She wasn't even like, you should go no contact. She didn't say, tell me what to do.
Sure.
She just recognized that like, it's important to need for your mother to see and hear you as a child. And it's also important to recognize the ways that she damaged you. So it's like, you know, there's a lot of layers here.
Well, worse, she wasn't actually even going to kill herself. She was just trying to take your spotlight away from you when you reached your milestone. She go, but I reached a milestone too. You know, that's like a boyfriend who starts a fight on like an important night of your life.
Yeah, totally.
That's that same behavior. It's oh, this is too much about you. Back to me.
Yep, dude. Yep,
obnoxious.
She takes accountability for being so volatile with me as a teen, okay, about how controlling she was. Well, that's really nice that she took accountability. She truly apologizes and doesn't try to deflect or deny how I feel about things. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. She and I both understand how those seemingly minor things have, because they're not minor, have caused me to feel so uncomfortable around her. Most people just suck it up and speak to their parents. My, quote, trauma is not even anything compared to actual abuse or neglect or manipulation. It doesn't matter comparing traumas. Yes, we can objectively say that, you know, getting raped as a child is worse than your mom being bipolar. On paper, sure. But it could also actually affect a person a similar way. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's pain. You were going through pain from an abusive parent. Yes, there are layers, but I just want to remind you of that. I don't understand why I have such a visceral reaction to her. I've tried to suck it up and call her / see her so many times, but after a couple of minutes, I feel so withdrawn into myself. I just want it over and can barely speak. Speak in my language, girl. I feel I'm unfortunately a lot like her in my relationship with my partner too. Controlling and anxiously attached. Mm. That's great to be aware of that, because these are things that can absolutely be worked on. So it's not a death sentence. I'm open to hypnotherapy to see if something truly traumatic happened that I just don't remember. But I honestly can't see that being the case. Well, if you don't remember years of your childhood, I think that's a clue that something's there.
Well, and also before we get to hypnotherapy, to me, the first thing that I'm saying is like, well, can you go to couples therapy with your mom? Like if she's at least acknowledging it, like, and she, you know, it seems like she's like being semi-receptive,
right?
Why not go to Zoom therapy together? Like the way you would to couples therapy. Like, to me, it's like any relationship that you want to work on, if the other person will show up with you, why not?
Yeah, and Zoom's a great idea because then you don't have to be in the same room with her.
Well, they have to because they live in different countries anyway, but yeah.
Oh, right, because UK, Australia.
But yeah, like, I mean, and at least, you know, because it seems like you're not ready to like completely give up. And like, I, for me with like, you know, relationships, I'm like, just leave immediately. But like, this is the only mom. So like, I would say, yeah, I would try a little harder with this one before I decide not to talk to them. And yeah, if ultimately that's the best decision for you, that's the best decision for you. But like, yeah, why not go to fucking whatever they call mom-daughter therapy? I mean, don't call it couples therapy. That's a whole nother therapy session. But
yeah, well, it's family counseling.
Yeah. There you go. Family counseling.
If it's truly just what I explained in this email, how can I tell her that although she did everything she could, it wasn't enough? How can I tell her that my body fills with anxiety when I see a message from her? How am I managing life just fine without her?
Well, I mean, that's because you're an adult.
Yeah.
I mean, the part where you said, like, you know, you get older and you stopped asking her for advice. I mean, that's just normal becoming an adult. Like, I did that too, because at a certain point you have to fucking cut the umbilical cord.
Right. But it also seems like, you know, her crying and saying, I'm lost without you, you're never going to come home. That's familiar. It's therapists call that familial incest, when the parent treats the child like the child is their parent.
Yeah. No, that's,
so she's leaning on you in a completely inappropriate way.
That's weird.
And
that, for sure,
that could be a huge reason why your body is not comfortable around her. I can tell you the last 3 or 4 times that I saw my mother in person, I wanted to fucking crawl out of my skin and burn it. I kept, like, it was so, and I was still confused. I'm like, what is wrong with me? How any sort of relationship feels awkward, forced, unnatural, and how every interaction is just painfully uncomfortable. I can only bear to message her maybe once every month or two. She's calling me every day, even though I asked her if we could only have a monthly message back and forth to update each other on what's going on in our lives.
She has no boundaries.
She doesn't fucking respect your boundaries, and that's... mm-mm. It's not enough for her. She wants more. I avoid seeing messages from her, avoid talking to her, avoid even my lovely grandma and dad's messages, because the whole family is so stuck on why I won't speak to her.
Yeah, I
and
that
I know
involved.
They
yeah.
will ask about it. Yeah, I lost. I mean, I have a very small family, but I don't talk to some of them because of that. I don't know if I even want a relationship with her. You don't, because I can manage my life just fine without her, and contact with her is so painful. If I do decide to spend thousands of dollars on therapy just to be able to have contact with her, it wouldn't be for my benefit. It would be for hers. I'm glad you said that. Any insight would be appreciated. Love, a loyal fucker.
I don't think it would be thousands of dollars. Like, if you, I'll just financially, it depends. I mean, like, do you have insurance? You know,
right?
Again, like, if you already made the decision, you've already made the decision.
Yeah, I do agree with Corinne. I think it's, and as somebody who's not, I go no contact with both of my parents. I think that I had to do everything for me personally. I had, like, the last time I saw her, I went down to their place, technically mine too, because I own half of it. That's where all my money is. Where I try to have a conversation, and I told myself, I prepped myself very, very, very intently, that I wanted to be calm. I wanted to be kind. I wanted to listen, and I wanted to speak with integrity and not stray from my own morals and values. Meaning I didn't want to act like a bitch. I didn't want to yell. I made many rules with myself. I stuck to all those rules. I drove home scream crying the whole way. Her head was so up her own ass of how can I be this terrible of mother? She just needed me to validate that she was a good mom. Right. But it's like, well, you weren't. You tried your best. You absolutely tried your best. And I really appreciate that. Sometimes people's best suck. And the thing that really breaks my heart is you can still do a really shitty job as a parent. But if you own up to it and you say, I fucked up and I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I hope one day you can forgive me. There's no hope. So your mom seems to have times where she's recognizing her bad deals. But I will say this, and my mom did this to me. It could be a fucking trap because she says, I'm sorry. And then you go, okay, I will have this
conversation. That's why I think a mediator should be there in a therapist. Because I agree with you. Like, yeah, but that I agree with that. That's the same thing that I saw as like this like little morsel of hope was the fact that she did acknowledge that she was not a good parent and she apologized for it. And she like held space for her daughter in that.
Yeah, that's huge. That's absolutely huge. But I've heard enough. I've read enough about healthy interactions with parent and child where I'm like, wait, is this what parents are supposed to do? God damn. And I think it's a big, 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 huge blinking red light that your body doesn't want anything to do with her. To me,
Yeah, I guess my only hesitation is it just seems like it's become more and more popular to like not talk to your parents to the point where it's like, I feel like.
Really?
Yeah,
I don't know any. I don't know anybody who doesn't talk to their parents.
It's like when she talks about the online space, like it's a really common. You'll see influencers all the time talking about it, right? And so not that it's like never, of course, sometimes it's like the best solution, but I feel like in modern society, we've, and I think a lot of it is because of politics, we have, like younger generations have been taught or trained or like given the okay that when like a relationship isn't going well, just to detach. And like, even when, you know, there's this notion of like, if you don't agree with your family's politics, don't show up to Thanksgiving or Christmas. And like,
that's
weird. Just don't think that's the way to go about life to just continue. Because to me, that's like this, you know, excuse the term, but that's the snowflake approach to only being around people who share the same values and opinions as you. And I mean, you guys fucking know I have a whole show about doing literally not that. And so I'm on the extreme side of it. But I just like you know, you have to take giving up a singular relationship in your life. Like this is the only mom you'll ever have. Mm-hmm. Right. So like, just take that seriously.
Yeah.
That's all that is. And I think you are, but I would give it a little bit like more thought, especially because at the beginning when you said like, I've been taking in a lot of online content.
Yeah.
Maybe stop that.
Yeah. And I think that I also think that I feel really, 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 really good every single day about my decision to not talk to my parents. But one of the reasons why I feel so good about it is because I did everything that I could to see if there was any hope of mending. I suggested therapy. She didn't want to do it. Mm-hmm. I came down to travel to them to explain myself calmly and confidently. And I got the same things back and I got the no recognition. And I'm like, okay, all right. And then, you know, by the time your mom says, well, if I kill myself, it's your fault. You're like, that's a wrap on you, Nance. That's a wrap on you. So it is helpful to like do the best that you can. And then you'll feel much more secure in your decision. If you don't want to if you want to cut contact, you'll feel like, yep, that is absolutely the right choice.
Sounds like she's got like a very fear-based, the mom has a very fear-based sense of life. I mean, just the controlling, don't be in the position I was in. I just kind of had a similar relationship with my dad for a few years in high school. And like, kind of like
what would he do?
It was like very much so like every conversation revolved around like, you're never going to make money, all that type of stuff. Mm. And then honestly, like how I like got past that, because like we have a great relationship now, was like I just started like trolling him, and like every
your
time
methods are very interesting, Eric.
But like every time he would try to like take the conversation in that direction, I would just kind of like point out like the like how silly he's being,
right?
And
silly goose,
yeah, exactly. And it definitely helped as far as like it's like you realize this is so ridiculous for you to be saying this to me as like an adult, and then. That quickly, you know, I also like started making more money, and then that pretty much shut him up.
Yeah, parents are like, and I know it's coming from a place of protection, but like even my parents were like this, like overly obsessed with like, oh no, you're never gonna make money. And I go, listen, I know you're not inside my wild mind, but I'm like, listen, you know, I'm Corinne Fisher. I get what needs to be done. I handle it all. So just everyone fucking relax. Yeah, I've been like this the whole goddamn time. Like it's just stop.
Yeah, I mean, whatever's going to happen. Parents are going to worry about you. And of course, they're going to be control freaks because they probably don't want you to be hurt like they've been hurt. But it's like, yeah, I agree with Eric in that, like, your mother's definitely coming from a place of absolute fear. It's driving her every reaction with you. But the not respecting the boundaries, the thing, like, I don't know what her relationship was like with her mother, something there, you know. When we had my mom on the podcast years and years and years ago, she told us that she was sexually assaulted when she was 11.
Sure.
And that made me go, oh, that's why you left the restaurant when I was 16 after asking if I was a virgin, and I didn't want to lie to you. So I said, no, I'm not a virgin. And you just fucking left and abandoned me and didn't talk to me for 2 weeks. It's not cool. But now I have some understanding as to why that happened. You just didn't want me being a sexual person. You were fearing that I was going to get assaulted and that you were reacting to the idea of your daughter being sexually assaulted. And that, of course, no reaction is going to be good when that's the place it's coming from. So yes, your mom is operating out of fear, but it's also her responsibility to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah. And I mean, just in general, I've been thinking about this concept a lot. Like, embarking on parenthood in general means you're basically setting yourself up to be a failure, right?
Yeah.
Because even if you overall, your child has a good experience, like there's going to be a way in which you fail that child. And like, I mean, that's kind of on my long list of disinterest in having a child. It's like, why would I just start a project that I know in some way I'm going to fail at? This doesn't sound good at all. This sounds terrible. I'm going to create someone and go through like all this pain and like physical trauma so that someone can be paying someone every week to talk about a way in which I failed them. I'm good. No, thank you. I'm good.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's good luck. You're going to figure it out. Okay. Guys, after you come see us on May 11th, well, this is before May 11th. If you're in Springfield, Missouri, raise the roof and come see me headline of the Blue Room at March 22nd and March 23rd. You can sign up for my Patreon. There's a $22 level for that once a week. You can get on a Zoom with me and we'll all chat about our problems. And I really love these Zooms. I love them so much. I love hearing about other people's issues. I love that it's a group of strangers that cut all the small talk and just get right to it. I really appreciate that because I hate small talk because it makes me cringe. And it makes me feel more connected to humanity. I really like these Zooms. So you could sign up for that. There's also a $5 a month level where you could just listen to the audio from those Zooms. And my other podcast, it's a solo podcast called The Voices in Our Heads. I'm doing a deep dive into RJ Spina's supercharged self-healing. I'm reading a couple pages of every podcast episode of each chapter. And I'm continuing those readings on the Patreon so that you can listen to both day of if you want. $5 a month. It's patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson.
And then the Eye of the Tiger tour, my tour for 2024, has officially been announced. If you didn't already hear, Chloe LaBranch will be featuring on all of these dates. We kind of did the last trial gig in Washington, D.C., and it was so fun. It went swimmingly. So here, get a pen, get a piece of paper, write this in your iPhone, pull the car over. You're going to want to be at these cities. A lot of these are one-nighters, so buy these tickets sooner rather than later because most of them, I'm not adding anything because I got to be somewhere the next day, all right? Tampa, Florida, April 17th. Miami, April 18th. Atlanta, April 19th and 20th. Columbus, Ohio, April 25th. Raleigh, North Carolina, April 30th. Philadelphia, May 1st. Boston, May 2nd. Portland, Oregon, May 14th. San Francisco, May 15th. Sacramento, May 16th. Seattle, May 17th. Houston, Texas, June 27th. Austin, Texas, June 28th and 29th. And Salt Lake City, Utah, September 26th. Tickets available at CorinneFisher.com. And also, if you're writing on Instagram, you can just go to the Linktree link in my bio. My handle is PhilanthropyGal. And of course, you can listen to my weekly news and politics podcast, where we try to find more similarities than differences between the right and the left. And that is called Without a Country. Every Wednesday night, those episodes drop on YouTube and everywhere you listen to podcasts. It's extremely fun. You know, check out my Katie Britt response to the response. It's been pretty fun. Eric,
are you going on the road?
Yeah, I am.
You are? Where?
As a matter of fact, I'm going to Edmonton,
what?
Vancouver, Plano, Phoenix, and Minneapolis this summer. So come get the tickets. I have links in my bio on Instagram.
I feel like if you left that as a voice message, it would say in parentheses on Apple, low confidence.
I feel like I give that vibe off a lot, and it's just because I'm
tired.
A lazy talker.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're overworked. You're tired. We'll give that to you.
I'm not even tired. I got a bunch of sleep last night.
I
slept on the plane, and then I slept all night. Yeah.
But you're over 6 feet tall. How good can your plane sleep be? Pretty good?
It was great yesterday.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, I'm proud of you.
I didn't sleep the night before, and then I had 40 milligrams of edibles, and I had a six-hour
sleep. Okay. Is that a lot?
Talking about this.
Yeah.
Oh,
40 milligrams?
What's a normal amount?
10.
Oh, Eric.
10 to 20, maybe.
Eric Downey Jr.
I would
there.
Do like a 5 milligram, and I smoke weed every day.
Oh.
Edibles. Everybody's different with edibles, though.
Whoa.
And you're a tall guy, I guess, so, but 40.
Whoa.
That's wild. But hey, it affects people differently.
Whatever you do, you do. All right.
Before we get to our guest, I have like a sex tip.
Okay.
Because now I'm fucking all the time because I'm a huge dirty whore. No, something that I realized, I'm like, what a simple thing to do that like really puts you in the moment. Just fuck a little slower. Mm. Like just like really slow.
This is because you're in love. If you're not in love, do not do this.
I
will call
say
the
shower.
Police.
No, but meaning like, okay, so if he's on the bottom and I'm on top, which is my favorite position.
Yeah. It's a good one.
If you go really slow, oh my God, it's so much hotter. It feels so much better. It's wild. Never thought to do it.
Really?
I was always like,
you never thought to do it?
Like really slow?
Yeah.
It's like teasing yourself with a dick. It's fucking.
Yeah, no. Great if you love the person. Horrifying if it's casual sex.
Oh, yeah.
Bone
I guess so.
Chilling.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's been done to me.
Ew. Yeah, I guess there's no connection. Oh, my God, don't do that.
I'm having
but
a
if
flashback.
If you're in a relationship, let's just save it for relationship sex tips. Just going really slow. It's crazy how it makes a huge difference. Mm. It's a totally different type of sex.
It's like a connection. Yeah.
Yeah, but even more than it, just physically, it feels good. It's just so much hotter. I couldn't believe I've been doing this the whole time.
Well, could that be under the umbrella of tantric just because it...
I guess so. I've been wanting to get into that because I'm very curious.
It just seems like who has the time?
I know.
Sting was doing it because he was already famous.
Yeah, he had time. He had time. He has his assistants doing all the other shit he's got to
do. You could have tantric sex when you have an assistant.
Yeah, he doesn't got to watch himself for clips. Sting is one of my main influences of why I wanted to get into it. I still do.
Who doesn't want to be a little bit more like Sting? Come on.
Yeah. Field
of
Gold.
Let me get a top hat.
What a guy.
He wears top hats?
Oh, maybe I'm thinking. Oh, Slash.
You're thinking of Slash.
Jesus
and I knew
Christ,
he was thinking. I go,
Jesus
this
Christ.
This fucking young gun over here is thinking of Slash. Not even
you
at all similar.
Who's
Sting? Fields of Gold?
Who's Sting? The lead singer
the
of the Police.
Fuck?
Eric, get out of the studio.
Roxanne.
Oh, okay.
You know that?
Yeah.
He goes, you know, my mom used to play that.
No, I had a police
my
record.
My nana.
And I connected collected vinyls.
Oh, when he went through his
cool
boy phase.
Yeah, when I was really cool.
Glad you're out of that.
I had hemp shirts, too.
Hemp shirts?
Yeah.
Oh,
God. Uh-oh. All right. Well, speaking
I was also
of
selling acid, to be fair.
Selling acid?
Yeah,
just narc yourself to the government.
Oh, yeah, my bad. I never did that.
That was a joke, everyone.
Just normal Altoids.
We're all comedians.
How much did it cost?
$10.
That's cheap. Is acid expensive?
For one tab?
Yeah.
Oh. Is that a good price?
I don't know.
I've always gotten mine for free because I don't take it from, I won't get it from unless I like know the person.
Yeah. And they've done actively done that kind of acid. That
yeah. But like yeah. they're kind of like making it themselves.
I've still never really done it. I have this spray and I tried it like a little microdose, but I didn't feel anything.
Oh, acid again, amazing, but like just very time consuming. Who has 12 hours?
I don't like that part. That's why I barely like,
Cause you're stuck in it.
I was supposed to get these nails fixed days ago and I'm like, I don't want to sit still. I can't. Sorry. It's going to be like this. Yeah.
Why don't you listen to a podcast? Why don't you listen to a podcast when you're getting your nails done?
Oh, I thought you were going to say rude. When you're taking acid.
Everyone does it. They don't want to talk to you. They want to talk shit about you, and they like when your headphones are in.
Oh yeah,
so they can be like, "Look at this fucking girl with a mustache or whatever." But like your old, they like your old joke.
Yeah,
Christina doesn't have a mustache. Everyone,
I do. When I see other girls there on their headphones or like they're talking to somebody on the phone.
No, they're talking on a phone. They should be executed. That's for
when
sure.
they're talking. And it's on speaker.
No, that's.
I'll just look at the bitch next to me in the
death
nail
penalty.
Chair
yeah.
talking on speaker. And I'm like, how do you sleep at night?
No, that's crazy.
How do you fucking sleep at night? If your house was being robbed, would you be aware of it?
Yeah.
Because you are so not self-aware.
No, that's crazy. But
ugh.
Like, I mean, cause it's like when you have your headphones out, you're not having an ongoing conversation with these women, are you?
No, but I'm just trying to be present with them. And you know, I don't know. I just don't want to be rude.
You can still, I think, be present and have headphones in. I mean, like, you know, like if they give you like a cup of water, like after yeah. they give you the little back massage, go back and
oh,
you know
nice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah, I see you.
Yeah. They don't want to have a conversation with you. I don't think they yeah.
No, they I mean
they like
they,
to compliment the color. They like to say, oh, the
wow,
color
that
looks
is
nice.
A nice color. Yeah. You like that color? Yeah. Yeah, me too. Okay.
Yeah.
See ya.
And that's it. And that's
yeah.
all that we need to do.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah, yeah. You know who else is fine?
Today's guests.
Both of our guests.
Yes.
Oh my God. One of them is a, dare I say, legendary stand-up comedian. And my title for him is Filthy Gentleman. And his beautiful, lovely wife.
Who could be a stand-up comedian.
Yes.
So funny.
She's very funny. And you could track their adventures in love and marriage,
the Nortons.
On YouTube.
Yes.
He'll give you that Jim. Handle. So happy gentlemen. For you guys.
I think thank everyone you. In comedy is
Jim
so happy
and
for you.
Nikki yeah. Norton. All of a sudden... It was like Jim's married.
He's smiling.
And like you guys are everywhere and your love emanates from the videos that I've seen in and it makes me very happy.
Thank you.
I'm sure you've talked about this already, but I'm curious, how'd you guys meet?
It was
online. It was an online relationship for like almost a year.
Oh, a year. So
yeah.
you courted for a year.
7 months because we're gonna have her come visit. And we had been FaceTiming every day, but they wouldn't let her in because of a minor pot charge. So we wound up just becoming yes. like FaceTiming every day. And then I booked gigs aww. In Oslo.
Oh, you're from Oslo.
She's from Norway. Yeah.
Cool. Norway.
Cool.
Yes.
That's why your skin is perfect.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very pale, I feel. And
I love it. It's best.
Thanks
yes.
so much. I used to do spray tans, but now I'm going to try to be pale for a little while.
Pale's a great
pale's
look.
So
yeah.
cool.
Thank
yeah.
you. Pale's a great look.
Thank you.
So you were FaceTiming from, and you were in Oslo. So you were FaceTiming for about a year.
Every day. Yeah. Like for seven every months, day. I booked gigs. We met for the first time. And then she came to Amsterdam for 2 days. But I and then I knew I like I really like her in person. So,
wait, a year of teasing like that's got to be by the time you finally were face to face. Did you just explode? Did your balls explode? Like
no. many times.
Yeah, who are you asking? but not like no. I think we went to eat first because yes. I didn't want to just be like. Oh,
he's the first man who ever took me on a date. It was very special aww. To me. Jim is a great man.
Yeah, we went to, what were we, go to lunch or something? Went to a
you
dinner.
You took me to a steak dinner. And that yeah. was the first time I was ever on a date. But
first
really
time
special.
Ever.
First time ever in my life. I was, what, 19?
Yeah.
When nice. We first met.
Right after that 18 mark. Good
oh,
on you,
yeah,
Jim.
Yeah,
get
yeah.
in there.
I'm like, bring your birth
right
certificate.
Yeah.
forget condoms.
Well, young women, we were just had a good conversation with our earlier interview. When you're 14, 15, 16, you lie about your, oh my God, all
yeah.
the time. And it's like,
I knew he was an old man.
Yeah. yeah. Yeah.
Do you
that's
like that? Are you into older men?
I love mature men.
Mature
yeah.
men.
Mature is yeah. a great way to put it.
Gentlemen.
Well, I've described him, we've had him on the podcast before, as like a filthy gentleman, which mm-hmm. I think is like
thank
the
you.
Perfect line for a man. Like
perfect.
It's just, it's a great, the world is your oyster. You can go anywhere from there. You know,
yeah.
I love being Jim's wife. It's fabulous.
It's weird to be married. Like,
did you ever think that he would get married?
No.
No, I didn't.
I just didn't think you were interested in it, frankly.
Seems like the man who would get married.
Well, I mean, when you say he's a great man, like, that to me is not surprising at all. I think because of your comedy, a lot of people would think that you are a certain way, but like, you can be kinky and sexually explorative and a good human being. And like, I remember like years ago when we interviewed for the first time, I was like, oh, this is like a really good person.
Yeah.
So that doesn't surprise me that someone would want to marry him. But I guess, yeah, like, it seems like you'd be like being free sexually, I guess. So
it's,
but marriage doesn't stop that necessarily.
No, I mean, and we're monogamous. Like, it's weird. Yeah. I've been such a shit boyfriend.
Very traditional wife.
But I don't want to. I don't want an open relationship. I couldn't do it. I'm 55.
I've never had that.
I can't.
And Jim was also in a point of his life where he was ready to settle.
I was ready.
I think he was looking for a partner, and I think that we were a way better match than neither of us knew.
But I don't even know if I was looking for somebody. Like, I remember looking at her as we were talking one time. I'm like, I'm going to marry her. Like, I was like, I'm going to marry her. Like, I said it to myself before we met. But then I'm like, you don't know if you meet. What if you don't have chemistry? Right. What if you don't like each other?
And you can't tell. You're like, am I being nuts here or not? Because like every time, have you ever said that before?
Oh, yeah.
Because I've said it before, and the guy, I look back at the guy, and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, love bombing.
Yeah.
When I was like being dirty, love bombing, but
that's
with her, it felt
different.
That's
not what happened to us, because when I first saw him in the elevator, I was like, ooh. I thought he would have maybe like a small dick, like, I don't know. But then he really charmed me on, and I really did fall in love.
Yeah.
About after that dinner, I really catched on real feelings.
Aww.
Yeah. It was hard to determine beforehand how much of this was just lust and much of it. Because until you meet, you have no idea what it's going
to
be.
I also used to live my whole life behind closed doors. Like, I was never out in public with another man ever.
Really? Why?
No, because I'm transgender. So for me, and especially being in my hometown and not in New York and like America.
Right. In New York, we accept whatever your thing is.
In New York, but being home in Norway, it's so much different.
How is it in Norway with transgender?
Well, for me, I feel like it's hard because I'm from a village. So there's cows and there's mooing. There's not so many trans people. When you're trans there, everyone knows each other. I just don't feel that accepted in my hometown. That's just what it is. People look at me, stare at me.
Like, you're like, it feels like you're a trans person, not Nikki. Like,
just not with respect.
Right. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, it's too different there. Like, and a lot of guys are afraid to go out in public. They don't want to be seen. Like, we'll order dinner.
So they will let you know by just looking at
like,
you.
I don't know how, like, what's the vibe of the people there? Like, not very accepting, love.
I mean, I guess they're pretty liberal people. I just feel like being a very liberal paradise, as they call it, I think maybe a bit more conservative mindset.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because I'm Norwegian and I look so Norwegian, and they can tell, oh, this is something else than just a Norwegian girl.
Yeah, they know.
Right, there's something else under there.
Yes.
Yeah. Something substantial.
of a presence. Yes.
Yeah, but they're not as, they're nice people, but they're also very
No, I love my country very much.
But they're very to the point, very direct, and it just seems kind of rude sometimes, but I think that's just a direct, like probably like Russians are like that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Just blather out, like the whole country's on the spectrum.
That's a good way to put it. That's a great way to put it. Yeah. Nikki, how are your parents like with Jim? Like have
my,
you met?
My parents love me so much. I have great parents. My mom and my dad, so accepting. They love Jim.
Good.
They met Jim on Christmas. We spent two Christmases together.
Yeah.
Aw.
We're a real family, the Nortons.
That's really cute.
They're nice people. Her real dad I didn't meet for a while. But her mom and her stepdad. And I get along well with her family. And my family loves her. I had the talk in 2017 with them. I'm like, we had just started talking, I think, around then. And I'm like, look, this is a girl I met. And I just said, look, she's transgender and whatever.
And she asked you if you were gay.
Yeah. Are you gay? Oh. I think she asked me that on the phone. But I had to have dinner with them. And like, because I wasn't going to.
She's so cute.
How did you say, like, how did that conversation go? I'm curious. Like, what did you say to her to be like, mom, is.
I talked to her on the phone and I said, no, I'm not gay. I'm like, but it ain't straight. I mean, I didn't need to say that. I mean, you know, they didn't ask if she had a dick.
And so many people have a problem.
They probably wanted to. That's the first thing people want to know, of course.
I guess so, yeah.
I feel like many people are like, Jim doesn't admit that he's not gay. But it's like, it's a different thing, I feel. It's not like you're attracted to just men.
There's also like Bailey J was one of my favorite porn stars.
I love Bailey J.
Yeah. She's so hot. Her dick is so huge. And I'm like, well, I remember when I first saw her, I was like, whoa. Like, this is all the things that I was
best of both
about.
Worlds. Yeah.
Truly. Yeah. Like, these titties are just like, ugh.
Doesn't she have great tits?
Yeah. Great tits, great dick. And I'm like, good for you, girl.
Yeah. I know.
Pretty
I love
face.
Her.
gorgeous face.
Plump,
yeah.
Heine, yeah.
She's so pretty.
Great ass.
Bailey's a home run.
She's probably got a great heart too, but boy, her body is banging.
Yeah. She's a good friend. I've had her like host projects with me. Like I did a show on Vice. And Bailey was my co-host, like my announcer, my co-host. And I did something else, and she was my co-host. Yeah, she's great. I love Bailey. She's really funny. Yes. I haven't seen her in a long time, but her and her husband are friends. But yeah, it's not, if I was a homosexual and I just liked men, I would tell you. Like,
exactly.
I don't give a shit.
One thing about you that I love so much is like you accept yourself without question, and it's like how everybody should behave. But you also have these extreme like desires that you like, and you're like, yeah, I'm fine with that too. Like you're fine with yourself.
Yeah.
Which I wish more people would be. But I'm interested, Nikki, so with the transgender movement in America, like we talk about it a lot, like trans women of color, very likely to get murdered. And it's so in the forefront of trans people's identity, but it's like you're so much more than that. So my question is like beyond transgender, like who, like what do you like? Like what are your dreams?
Computer,
nice
music, have fun, travel.
I like to have fun was third behind music,
computer.
Basically, if she was being honest, have fun would be first.
Yeah,
that would be have fun.
Be creative.
Do you go with Jim on the road?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Preferably not.
Is that your preference or Jim's preference? You just don't. You don't need to go to Indianapolis.
I always tell him if you really want me to come with you, I'll come with you. But if it's a very boring place, maybe not.
Yeah.
More conservative, maybe not.
Oh, she's coming to Austin with me because I'll be there for a few days.
Yeah.
But Austin's like then after gorgeous. That, I'm going to Oklahoma, Houston, Dallas, one night each. It's like you don't need to be
in
and out of hotels.
I would rather be at home and. Order Uber Eats.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It gives you space too. Like I didn't live with anybody. The first time I lived with any woman in my life ever was her in the pandemic. I ran up to Montreal and lived in a one bedroom for 15 months. I left the U.S. No one knew I was gone.
That was crazy.
I had no idea I would be gone that long. The border was closed. And if I came back, I couldn't have left.
Fuck.
So I stayed with her for 15 months on René Lévesque Boulevard in Montreal in a one bedroom. And that's the
and
first time.
It went
time
well.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't know. You could get along so swimmingly, have the perfect sex, and then when you move in, start doing shit that you're like, I don't like that.
And this was during COVID, and Canada was like one of the countries that were most locked down. And how good did we do? We had so much fun.
We did very well, especially considering it to be in by 8 p.m. Montreal was really panicky.
Yes, they had a curfew.
We did a little day trip, like or a weekend trip to Toronto to stay in a nice hotel because rooms were so cheap.
And
Quebec
to this
City.
Village.
Just, things to keep us busy.
Sure.
Yeah. But it was my first time living with someone, and the embassy was closed. Her visa was on hold. Because I put her up in Montreal from Norway so I could see her every weekend. I was driving up to Montreal every other weekend.
Oh, wow.
Yes, because they didn't have a problem with my pot misdemeanor.
Yeah, what's with this pot thing? Right. It's like, oh my God. Guys, can we just all graduate past pots and problems?
It's basically a ticket, like a parking ticket.
$100
fine.
In Norway.
And that's what prevented you? It's on the federal drug
schedule. But it also feels like it's just an excuse to like stop people from immigrating to the U.S. Yeah. I mean, they're just like doing things to control it.
It's 1950s. Sorry, 1950s pot.
It was a long road. I just feel blessed to be here now. It's because it's been such a long road. 5 years.
5 years.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't realize you had been together that long.
It was a long time. And I was driving up to Montreal. I would do radio, finish on Thursday, jump in my car, see her Friday, Saturday in Montreal, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, drive home Sunday morning, do radio, go on the road the next weekend. The weekend after that, I would drive back up. And it just became my life.
And what was the conversation like from you being, kind of really private about this to then fully having like a reality show online?
We were private only because there was two reasons. One, we wanted to make sure that we got along as a couple.
Sure.
Like, we didn't want it to be shtick, and I didn't want to adjudicate this whole thing publicly. Like, cause I have a big mouth and immigration is so frustrating that fans would have got sick of hearing about
it. And then again, should we have opened our personal life before we even know that if I could get in here and live here, we wouldn't have a life in the first place.
Yeah. Right.
So that wouldn't make any sense.
I didn't know what I was going to do if she didn't get in. So there was just nothing beyond that.
But
I couldn't see beyond it.
But I wouldn't be happy to live with Jim completely privately. Mm-hmm. I would be completely happy to do that.
Yeah.
That would not be any problem.
It would be hard for me because I'm so public with my life.
Same,
And it was so hard not talking about it.
It's nice to have, to have your listeners and fans who love you and care about you and are invested in your life to like be along for the ride too.
Yeah.
Like, to share that with people that deserve to hear it, really.
Everyone thinks that I'm like, oh, she's trying to be this rising star. I just like to have fun on Instagram. And they choose to watch sometimes, and it's fun. It's fun.
No, that's great. It's clear because, I think, comedians, we're all, like, protective of Jim, so there was this kind of initial gaze, like, what's going on here? But it was, like, very clear very quickly that you are actually in love.
There are people who think, oh, she's using, like, I get it. I understand how people see it. And even when we interact online.
Yeah.
But she's funny and she's mean with her jokes. That's exactly what I need.
Just perfect. Trying to be funny too on the podcast and now make a dick joke. His mouth open.
Yeah.
And I've just been also, trying to be funny.
When people see like two people in love, they're like, what's the cat? Like everybody's so eager to be like, no, it's fucked up somewhere, especially the people that have not had a healthy relationship.
Yes.
I'm curious, Jim, what have you learned about yourself since courting Nikki and marrying her?
That I was kind of looking for something all those years. Like I did pretty much whatever I wanted my whole adult life
It
still left me in a manic depression. It didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
So like this, I'm very happy with Nikki. I don't like everyone was like, wow, what if I went out and cheated? Like, but I really haven't. Like it's crazy that I haven't, 'cause I cheated on everybody else in my life.
Oh, right.
She's the first one I've ever been. Because I know that once I do it, I can't tell myself I've never done it.
It feels so special.
Right.
I'm just ready too, and I love you, and it's not worth it. It's just not worth it.
It's a combination of a lot of factors. Who you are, Nikki, and then the state in your life that you have arrived at.
We overfought a battle that we didn't know that we would win. Mm. So I feel like we fought for this life too.
Yeah, I had to fight for it. I had to wait for it. I had to fight for it. I had to fly to Norway. I mean, we've been three different lawyers.
Jeez.
But I feel like the successful person in you like probably likes that. Like that makes it feel like you earned it.
Yes. And I know it was not impulsive.
And you had to interrogate yourself along the way of like, I still want to be here, right? I still want to be here, right?
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, it was almost like if I was going to bail out, like now that even when things are hard here, this is easy. Like nothing will ever be as hard as that 5-year process.
Yeah.
Waiting for the embassy to open, her getting rejected five times.
Waiting 9 months for an appointment and another 9 months for the other appointment.
It's like they're trying to make you psychotic and have a breakdown.
Yeah, it's really, we got like a real immigration education. Like you learn everything about it. And like I have empathy for people.
You almost become a lawyer.
Yeah.
Right. She actually found stuff. Something that the other lawyers didn't find.
Our second lawyer told us, look, she has a drug conviction. She'll never get in for immigration purposes for hashish, because that's what you smoke in Norway, not pot. But then I found a little officer's handbook online, and it said the only drug conviction you can get into the States with is 15 grams or less of marijuana.
Oh.
And... Yes. But then like the lawyer goes, that's not hashish, but it's cannabis.
Right.
So she found the thing that said it's like less. It's like 30 grams of pot or 6 grams of hashish. It's 5 to 1.
Oh.
So then the whole thing was, how do we prove that her ticket was for less than 6? It's a fucking, but we did it by the book. I mean, when you do things by the book, the government uses the mail. Like everything is slow. Yeah. Right. It's the post office. You're dealing with the post office.
I'm so happy to be in New York. I love New York.
You guys are probably like
New York is the most liberating place I have ever walked. The streets here.
Yep.
No one gives a fuck. I've never had one person tell me anything about in New York ever.
Yeah. Really?
It's fabulous.
I feel like if anything, like there's been very few times that I've witnessed a guy like say something like witness bigotry. And it's like everybody around us is like, what the fuck did you just say? Like we all protect each other in the way.
I feel like a different breed here than I do in Norway.
Nice.
When I'm in Norway, it's a lot groggy and very direct. And here, at least you can set yourself free a little.
Yeah, and be weird. You can be a weird fucking self.
We just love hot people here. If you're hot,
you're hot.
Matter.
That's what that
matters. Thank you. Sexy bitch. Yeah. All of us are sexy bitches.
Yeah. Yeah, or those of us that aren't hot, just be funny.
Yeah.
Like tap dance.
You're Jim Norton. You don't got to be anything other than Jim Norton.
Yeah, just a disaster, but just be funny. As long as you have something to bring.
Have you ever dated a woman that's like arm candy like Nikki? Like she's fucking tall, model, fucking.
I've done, my ex-girlfriend is, and this is what a fucking dope I am.
Jennifer.
Her and my ex-girlfriend are very close. I'm friends with every one of my exes except one.
Interesting. And, that's a good sign.
Way more attractive than I am. Like I've always batted out of my league, I guess, because again, being funny, you know,
it's so valuable.
You made up for men only.
Yes, you're right. It does, but it gets you in the door and then you have to. But Jen, who I love, is a fucking ferocious kind of really perceptive person who always takes her side. It's so irritating that I introduce these two, but we'll be fighting.
That's awesome.
And she calls
now
my ex-girlfriend.
Sucks.
That is great.
She's
a great tactic.
Right, and I'm right too, if we argue. And she'll let me know that's really true. Yes, you're right, Nikki.
Fucking Jim. Yeah, I hear it. I'm like, so, but I like that she has someone to talk to who I respect.
I love Jennifer.
I respect my ex.
And
she's
smart.
Who
knows you well?
Yeah.
How long were you together?
I think it was like 2008, 2011. We broke up many, many years ago, but about 3 years ago.
You're
it was
still
a long
good friends.
Yeah, she's one of my closest friends.
That's nice.
Yeah,
UFOs.
Yeah, JK Ultra. I'll plug her on TikTok. She has like 500,000 TikTok followers.
Oh, good for her.
She's really interesting, and, wow. and she's got this great fucking brain.
Nice. Well, she loves UFOs. You should have her on your show.
Oh, wait, she loves UFOs?
Yeah,
oh,
so Nikki just said she loves UFOs. Everything about the aliens. And
okay,
the
I gotta have. I'm very obsessed with aliens.
Oh,
obsessed. I want to get abducted so bad. I have a new show called Wait What about aliens?
Like, really?
Just the there's so much. The evidence that's out there that is provable is wild. So I'm like, guys, why aren't we talking about this all the
time? Have you seen an alien?
No, I want to so bad. I would. That's all I would ever talk about if I did.
That's why she hasn't. Too thirsty for the aliens.
A lot of the sightings in the United States started happening in the 50s when the atomic bombs were being built. And I have this theory from all of the literature I've read that aliens could actually save us from ourselves. So I think they're very peace oriented. Yeah.
Maybe. And like the funny part is I believe none of it. I'm 100% skeptic, but I don't want to be a skeptic.
You should be. Yeah. Well, it's like, well, show me the proof and then I'll believe it. I think that's wise. That's
yeah. Jen is very,
well, you gotta believe
very,
Jen.
Jen is very much. And she, like, I would talk to her as I was driving to see Nikki in Montreal, and Jen can fucking talk. And she would like, but on a rant about this stuff. And I'm like, I don't believe any of this, but I'm still really enjoying listening to you.
Yeah.
You got to do a podcast about it. You have to. Like, because she's such a good fucking talker.
Yes.
I'm like, you're making me want to listen about this, and it's not
and
a subject.
And you're a non-believer, which is great. That's
a
perfect audience.
Yeah. So if you can get me interested in it, you're really good at talking about it. Yeah, she's great. But anyway, she's also great at fucking taking her side, which is, it's annoying, but it's also, I'm glad that she has that person in her life. Like,
yeah.
I love her.
Yeah.
I love that she knows the core of Jim.
Yeah.
Then it gets easier to bitch about him.
Are there like points of contention that keep coming up? Like usually couples, like there is like one issue and it's usually not even about something big, but it's something that keeps coming up.
He always has to win the argument.
Oh, interesting.
Always.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Is that just like, is that,
what is that, the comic?
Is that the, what is that?
Part of it is, it just doesn't like, cause I think that I'm right. But I also,
fair.
Nikki will cry a lot. Like we're arguing about something and she'll get very emotional. I've gotten better at shutting the fuck up. Like in her, like she doesn't know the old me. Like this version of me is much better.
But I don't care about the old you. I know what you're saying, but if we argue and we hit a wall and I start to cry, how dare you still try to win the argument? You know how crazy that drives me?
Not the time, Jim.
But yes. I know.
And I'm in hormones, I'm transgender.
I know, I've heard this with tears coming down. Jim, I'm your
She's
wife.
Had enough struggle, Jim. Yes. Give her a fucking break.
Already enough with what I'm dealing with.
But I get very cold when I argue. Like even if
that would make me cry.
Yeah, yeah. But even if I'm like,
I know.
Like I know you're my wife. Like I'm not. We're not debating that.
He'll just look at his computer screen and he'll try to lecture me too. Sometimes this is true.
Yeah.
I imagine but too, like the age difference.
Yeah. How can you?
That's
not?
The hardest part
well,
of the relationship.
I was just gonna say that I wouldn't work out with him if I didn't have daddy issues. I do have daddy issues.
Thank God. Yeah.
But I love my father. He's the closest. One of the closest people in my family.
And he's the most accepting.
What's the daddy issue then?
Well, he wasn't in my life when I was younger. So naturally, I think that that would, you know, that would give anyone daddy issues.
You're right. Right.
Have to have like a stable male figure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So the age gap. And then also, I think like you mentioned as a joke, like you're transgender, you have hormones, but for real, like how, like, so you're actively taking hormones still. And like, how does that affect your mood?
I've been on the same dosage for like 11 years.
Okay. And what was when you started taking them? Did you notice a change in your mood?
Yes, my boobs were very painful. One time in Norway, and in my room, the edge of the door I accidentally hit it when I was like a few months on it.
A tender
it was
boob,
terrible.
A tender boob is
terrible.
Not anything.
It was
to fuck
worse
with.
Than your toe times 10.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah. Very, very terrible.
How old were you when you were like, oh, I'm the wrong gender? Like, the gender I'm born in is not the one I want to be.
I always walk like this when I was like a little, you know. But then when I was like 12, 11 maybe, around there, like for real, like, wait, but I don't want to have a beard. Oh my God, that drives me crazy. I would rather kill myself than have a beard.
Oh,
I really sincerely mean that.
Yeah.
So that's how I knew that I have some sort of form of dysphoria, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you voiced that to your parents?
Yes. And then she took me to a psychologist. And then in Norway, they're not just any doctor won't put you on meds.
Yeah.
You had to go to the National Hospital.
Oh, okay.
I did that in Oslo. And I thought they were wonderful.
That's good.
A lot
good.
Of therapists and psychologists, and then they put me on the hormones.
It's a diagnosis. Like, there's like,
it's an actual diagnosis.
Yeah. That's great. So it seems like, while maybe the population is super fucking judgy and filled with bigotry in that respect, the government makes it so that if you want to transition, you can.
But it's not like I'm just putting on this dress and ooh-hoo, having fun. I literally, if I was a man and had to live life as a man, I would definitely not be alive. I really
Right, and that's the whole thing. thing.
Hide,
it's like,
and live as a woman in a video game. I don't know.
Right. 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 And it's like, what kind of fucking life is that? Yes. Like, when people can't understand, like, why, like, the transgender issue in America gets conflated, I think, with the news. They give you the headline that's gonna piss off the conservative parents the most. And it's like, guys, can we not stop jerking off that one dick of this issue? Because it's like, if you are born feeling like something isn't right, you have every right to address that and make it right for yourself.
And then you get guys like that teacher in Canada who I thought was clearly fetish. Like the guy, he was a woodshop teacher, and then he just showed up for work with these giant fake tits.
That was, and wait, I didn't know about that. What?
Yeah, he looked like Mickey D in Motorhead, like these giant breasts.
Danny Polishchuk, the comedian, he was walking around, like he ordered them and was like doing a lot of bits about making fun of this guy.
Oh, that guy?
So what is his deal? Yeah. Is he trans or is he?
No, I don't believe he is. I believe it's fetish.
Well, he's claiming that he's transgender, but he was like a high school teacher and he was teaching kids or whatever, and he had on these H-size boots.
Just came in one day with tits.
Like, than drag queen Bianca Del Rio. I mean, the tits are this big. And it's like, what the fuck are you doing?
And it would be pictures of him walking around without them. Because he goes, oh no, it's a genetic thing. They're real. But then reporters would catch pictures of him without the breast, just living life in a regular denim jacket.
As a transgender person, I'm proud to say, shame on you.
Yeah. Right, because it's like, it's not.
It's weird.
I didn't believe
it. You got some issue going on, but it's not
weird.
That.
It's fucking weird. And even if I saw them in a grocery store or even a strip club, it's fucking weird.
It is.
Having them this big with the giant nipples and short skirts, stop it. Like, that to me was fetish because you're not living your life like that.
Right.
You're wearing that around high school students, but then people are catching you going to the store in a denim jacket, a t-shirt. Yeah. Where's your breasts?
This is not something you actually need to make you feel like
this
yourself.
Is not how you feel whole or like you. I personally didn't believe it.
Right.
And I think the fact that gets lumped in and people can't just go, what are you, a fucking idiot? Like everyone's so scared of getting in trouble that it has to all be talked about with the same level of gravity.
Right.
It's silly.
Right. Yeah.
It's
absolutely.
Very insulting. The expectation of like, respect my tits, kids. Like,
be a CD. That's great. Dress what you want.
Yeah.
But then don't wonder why, like, in a school, it just feels fetishy.
Yeah.
Like, you can wear what you want, but I don't want to see a male teacher showing up with assless chaps.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Put your balls away, sir.
Yeah. It'll be weird.
Yeah.
Well, I follow a news show, and there's a trans influencer named Eden the Doll who I follow.
Oh, she's so pretty.
Did you see the video she posted like a day or two ago? It was very interesting, and she said that she personally feels that she wasn't born in the wrong body. She said, I don't think God makes mistakes. She's like, I think that I was put on this earth with the challenge that I would need to transition, and that is a part of who I am because God knew I could handle that challenge. I thought that was a very interesting take that I had never heard before, and I just wanted to
maybe that was your higher power in life,
right?
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
to challenge those around her with an idea that maybe people can't understand.
Yeah. But that's not at all how you felt. You felt wrong body, or
I just know that what I felt and the feelings that I started feeling around 12, 13,
right.
And the real, oh my God, the clock is ticking, I don't want to be a fucking man, was real.
Yeah.
And I had to tell my mom.
Yeah.
I had to tell my family. And if I didn't, I don't know what would happen.
Yeah.
Right.
It's terrifying to me, really.
Yeah. I like that you smiled after you said terrifying.
But it is, yes.
And it seems like,
but I do like her view on it, though.
Yeah, it was kind of like the woo-woo person in me was like, oh, this is, I've never heard this expressed in this way, and that's really interesting. But I just also like that it was a point of view about a trans person from a trans person, when in reality, so much of the information that we get, and I think this is a huge problem, is just about people
assuming.
Do you even know a trans person?
Yeah.
Fox News, every day on the main page, there's a story about trans people. Like, they're obsessed.
Yeah.
Obsessed.
It's the issue of the day.
But they call them she now. They didn't call them a she 10 years ago. They would say he on TV.
Right.
They don't do that anymore.
Right. Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm not saying they're not, oh my God, we love trans people.
Right.
But
baby
still.
Steps.
Baby steps. They've
gotten
better.
Appropriately gendering is, respect.
Right.
Yeah. Levels of respect.
And I think the world is changing. I really do. 10 years ago, I couldn't find any information. And I've said this on a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
But when Caitlyn Jenner went on the magazine for Vanity Fair.
Yeah.
Micro countries were talking about transgender.
Right.
It was out of the door and out of the closet. And ever since then, for me as a foreigner too, being an internet person, it changed the world to me. I yeah. really mean that.
Yeah.
Sincerely. I knew when that happened, I was like, that's amazing that such a famous family has a person who not only like lived most of their life as a very famous man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, now everybody's going to be talking about this in a totally different way the second she
But you know how like
out.
they're fake when like, you know, show business, they're allies. They're frauds. Like,
yeah, sure. It's TD Bank with the pride flags on pride.
It's
like you don't
shut
give a
the
fuck.
Fuck up. Yeah. How many, when's the last time an actor brought somebody trans to an award show? Pablo Pascal, I think, brought his sister's transgender sister.
Yes, yes.
But that's different. That's different than a romantic relationship.
Yeah, yeah, that's family, yeah.
Yeah, family is different. Yeah. And it's nice that he brought her, but I mean, sure. that's not the point. It's like...
Try harder, Pedro. Honestly, yeah. We're not buying it.
A lot of you guys, and I know who you are, because I would never say it, because if you want to know who sleeps with trans people, sleep with a trans person, they'll tell you. Like, I got the skinny from a lot of girls over the years.
Nice.
But again, it's like, what are you guys doing? Just say it.
I know, it's like, be comfortable with who you are. What's the risk? Somebody's going to go, ew.
Yeah, okay. Fuck them. Fuck
go
your
ew.
Friends.
I don't
who
give
cares?
A fuck. Yeah,
well,
is
I don't
it
care
still
my friends
like
think.
Ingrained homophobia? Like, what are...
Maybe, yeah. Sure. Or the fear of what does it make me? I think that's a lot of it too, because guys are more comfortable being gay than they are with
that. Or maybe
the
world around them.
Yeah, but if you come out like as a man, if I say I like somebody trans, what am I? Am I gay? Am I straight? That's the problem. It's the confusing.
Right.
And
the
again,
human brain has the desire to label everything.
But no yeah. man who likes a dick is anything but straight.
No, you said that wrong. You can't be straight.
You can't be straight.
I was like, no, that's a hot take, Nikki. Yeah,
you're not straight if you don't like cock. Get it
I'm
right.
I'm foreign. English is my second. If you like cock, then you're something else.
You're not right. straight.
Well, I always found it so funny, like when men get really insecure about like anybody thinking they could be a little gay, and I'm like, what is more manly than a guy with his dick out and another guy with his dick out going at it? To me, that is so manly.
Yes.
It's funny too, but a lot of the problem is like they'll say like, oh, you're totally straight if you're with somebody trans with a dick. And it's like, but that's to me is not progressive. That's the 1950s idea that being straight is the only good answer.
Right.
Like we have to somehow segue this back to you being hetero because that's the right answer.
But what if you're into trans girls and you hate the penis and you don't even like touching it, but you still would marry her?
I mean,
is that common?
I've heard of like one guy that's.
Yeah, that's a subset.
Maybe he was autistic.
He's still battling himself.
I don't know who that guy is.
Yeah.
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 We'll have that guy on next week.
Or like asexual people.
There's a difference though. Like if you meet somebody and you find out, oh, they're trans and whatever, but I don't care about the gender. It's different if you fall in love with the person first and you don't even know about. Maybe there's different levels. I'm not an expert. Like, and I say it on stage. Like,
I don't know neither.
I'm not a fucking expert.
You're only an expert on your life and your experiences. That's
it. And I don't try to teach lessons on stage. I talk about it, but I don't try to tell people how to feel.
Sure.
I don't give a shit what they walk away with. Yeah. This is what my life is, and it is what it is.
But Jim is a very honest man, and I'm very lucky. And all the people, my friends and my trans friends too, tell me, you're lucky. You're very lucky to have landed a man at all. I wish I had a man, they tell me.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, guys are a little weird about it.
I think it's different to be married. I know there's some trans girls who are.
Yeah.
I could never picture that in my life.
Really? You just never thought this was an option for you?
No. Oh, my God, no. No.
Wow. So you guys are like living a little fairy tale, basically.
I am.
Literally. Yeah.
Two
fruits.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. And Nikki, what have you learned about yourself through marriage?
That I'm funny.
Nice.
You never knew that before?
No.
No.
Really?
Maybe a little. No, I've learned, I don't know. I've learned how to love.
Aw.
I mean, come on, I've learned
like
how to
gay.
Love.
Yeah.
Fucking, you're an old lady. She's an old lady. She is a very old soul. Like, it really is crazy.
That's the Nikki Glaser joke in living.
She's an old soul. Relax.
That's men's excuse for fucking the youngest chick they can get. It's so funny.
Oh,
you gotta watch
Nikki Glaser has
so
the best
funny.
Bit on it.
Oh, that's funny.
What's it? She's like, they don't like anything old on a woman except for a soul.
Yeah, it's so funny.
I will say this. I like Nikki Glaser. Good call, Nikki. Good call. But I mean, like, she's like literally an old lady. Like, the things that she likes, the reaction to things. Oh, it's fucking crazy. But I mean, no. Yeah. But
like,
that
you
makes
like
it,
caramels? Or they like Werther's Originals?
Yeah. 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 A little candy in the purse.
Old ladies, they're about to die. They always enjoy the best things in life.
Okay.
In their 80s, the little cookies.
Love
Norway,
little
cookies. The toast. Yeah. Yeah. Smørrebrød's amazing. Yeah. I love old Norwegian women too.
But she really does. Like, it's not just the expression. Like, she literally loves old people.
Okay.
And, they're pretty cool.
Instead of going to a hotspot restaurant, I would rather go to a nice, quiet relaxing, dimmed steakhouse.
Yeah, it's one of those things where that's why we get along. Like,
I hate clubs.
Sex,
oh,
don't
that's
even.
Perfect, then.
Yes, sex you can do with somebody like who's hot and young, but you can't live a life just based on someone being hot and young.
Yeah,
you have to connect mentally on something, or you just you'll go crazy.
No substance.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah,
and I was Miss Independent way before I met Jim.
Yeah, yeah,
so
you made
I was
your own
already
money.
A little mature.
What was your life? Yeah, what was your like life before Jim?
I did webcamming.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So the day I turned 18,
mm-hmm.
I did that, and I
How'd
moved out, and I started my life.
Nice.
And yeah.
Nice.
Yes, it was nice.
What did you, did that anything surprise you about camming? Like that you're like, oh, I like this more than I thought I would, or I don't like this.
Yeah.
And I thought I
was throning. I did great.
Right. Nice.
Yeah. She,
nice.
People liked, I would watch. She told me immediately what she did. I didn't care.
And like, as a Norwegian, I realized that I opened the international door by doing that.
Oh, right, right, exactly. Because your audience is now the world.
The world.
Oh, whoever wants to see you.
Yeah, but we would.
Person of the world.
Yeah.
I would enjoy watching. I was like, yeah, she's fucking. I like
what she's doing.
Being this comfortable. Like the fact that you were that comfortable in front of people.
I'm more nervous now than I would be naked, probably.
It's crazy. Yeah.
I don't know why.
Being naked is so, like, being sexual is just so vulnerable. And I'm like, man, if a strip club, I always said this, like, if a strip club had an amateur night where you could wear a mask, oh, I would do it in a second. But, like, the face, I'm like, don't look at me. Look at my pussy. Don't look at my eyes.
Do they have that? That's a great idea, by the way. Amateur strip club where you can wear a mask and act it out without afraid of somebody grabbing a cell phone picture of you.
Right,
I feel like there'd be a lot of injuries at that club.
There was big eye holes. Yeah. Big eye holes.
A lot of injuries. Yeah. It's like when people think they can do stand up and then get on stage.
Yep.
They're like, okay, this is a little harder than it looked initially.
But I'm smart enough to know I could never do what she used to do. Like, my dick would be panicking. I would never be able to function in front of people.
If I was like 18 now, if I would be on OnlyFans then. And that would probably be even more.
Yeah, you'd make a killing.
She would do well, yeah.
Because mine's was a little old school, I feel, the camming.
The
people don't
yeah.
really cam anymore. I guess they do,
they
but
do.
Now it's more OnlyFans.
Yeah, OnlyFans, that's women make mindset. Like 6 figures monthly
Crazy.
Sometimes. And I'm like,
people are loaded,
you, girl.
Yeah.
She stopped 5 years ago, too. So like, some people think that we're, because they see videos online.
Oh, no.
There's more videos of her online than me.
For a long time. Yeah.
But she's been out of it for 5 years. So I think a lot of people see that and go, oh, he's married some girls doing webcam stuff.
No,
but
this
like,
is a long time. I'm retired. I'm 26 now.
Honestly, even if you're still doing it, I'm like, nice, you're probably rich as hell.
I wouldn't want that though. I wouldn't want to share that energy. That's why I don't want to share that. And I don't want to share her sexual energy with other people.
And I'm a married
when I'm
wife
with her.
Now.
I would feel that way too about if my partner was sexual publicly, I'd be like,
yes.
Oh, but that would break my heart.
I need a man who feels that way towards me. I don't want a man who's just do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Right. I can't have that in my life.
It's like when a guy's like not even a little bit jealous and you're like, well, come on, being like a little jealous.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like care a little bit.
My overprotective.
Yeah, but I'm not obsessive with it, but I wouldn't want her doing it. It's been years and I wouldn't want her doing it because it's like, nah, you're my fucking...
I'm your wife.
You're my wife. Like, and even before she was my wife, she was my girlfriend. I'm like, no, I'm not driving 6 hours. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is real.
Right, right,
And also, like, as a public person, I think, we share so much with people already.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to have some things that are just yours.
Yes.
And because we have less things that are just ours. I think about that a lot. When you were camming, what was there like a common things that people would ask you for a lot as far as kink or?
I think most people just wanted to see my dick. Really?
Yeah. Like, all right, fine.
I don't know what to tell you. It felt like that's really.
I kind of have this theory that like, but everybody's a little bit bi, but like even like the straightest woman and you show her a picture of like Sydney Sweeney's titties and you're like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
The best titties I've ever seen. Like her titties make my day better.
I love
They make my day better.
Just like, just want to motorboat her so bad.
Yes.
But I also have this theory that like everybody, regardless of your gender, regardless of your sexual orientation, is always attracted to like a beautiful woman with a dick. Like I honestly think that you couldn't honestly poll people. Like if you said no, you'd be lying. I have that theory.
There are guys who are like comics I know who have talked about it and they always will do it. Like I can see a trans girl with a girl with a pussy. Like, so they like the dick in play. So the fact that they like it even a little in the thing means that they're open to it. Like the fact that it's in the somehow in the energy and the smoke for you means not that you'd pop it in your mouth,
Japanese
but you're okay with it.
Japanese watch octopus porn, so I'm sure
that
it's like hentai and
yes.
like that.
Hentai's cartoon,
and inflatable furries. I've seen it all. It's
Whoa.
Crazy.
What's the weirdest porn you've seen, Nikki?
Inflatable furries.
Wow. And the guy's fucking it. Or they're fucking a
they're
person.
They're just being blown up and there will be a naked furry. It's very weird.
It is very weird.
I'm interested in furries a lot.
But the fact that people get turned on by that.
I watched a whole Vice documentary when I was like probably in high school about furries. Yes. And I've never stopped thinking about
it
this.
It is sexual, right? Furries are always sexual.
Yeah, but I mean, it was like literally like, you know, just like kind of like, oh, these are the same people I've seen at Disney World. Is there a hole down there and they're fucking after hours? Like, fascinating. Also, I'm like, wouldn't it get so hot? I would get a migraine.
It would stink. And it would smell too.
Yeah.
Like, I met the Philly Fanatic years ago. I interviewed
him.
Yeah, I interviewed him.
I'm and the, so jealous.
Oh, the fucking the costumes.
Is he a porn star?
No, it's a giant. Oh, it's a
mascot.
The Phillies baseball team.
Giant
Philadelphia
costume.
Sports is intense.
But he smelled terrible because those uniforms smell. So furries probably stink when they take their fucking clothes
stink.
Off.
Ew.
Yeah,
I don't like have a lot of baby
I don't
powder.
Like furries, you guys. Like, I think
I don't. Yeah,
I think they're cute if they're like this, but not
sexual.
Go too crazy. It's not.
Were you turned on by it?
No.
Oh, you just thought it was interesting.
But not like making fun of, like, truly genuinely fascinated by it.
Yeah, like, what does it mean?
Yeah, I guess that was, like, the precursor to Guys We Fucked. I was just fascinated by it and, like, feederism. Because Vice used to be, before they became, like, you know, doing all the woke, nonsensical, taking comedians down shit, like,
crazy.
They were really doing some very interesting work in the sex space.
Yeah.
Mm. Of
yeah,
value.
Yeah, I did a show for them probably 2014 and only did 4 episodes, unfortunately. They were very difficult to deal with. When you saw the way the top, everything had to go through a couple, everything got bottlenecked. So I'm not surprised that eventually things came apart.
Right.
It just seemed like there was only a few guys making decisions for a massive company.
Right.
But they did do some great, the thing about Joshua Bly, I think it was a general butt naked, who's now a preacher.
Oh.
He was like one of those. One
Is
of those,
this a famous story?
Yeah, he's a guy who would like murder. He would fight naked. He was like a warlord. Very bad guy.
From America?
No, Africa. Like, I don't remember where. Maybe Nigeria.
Okay.
And I think he's in
Fight with
Chocolate
your dick
City.
Out. That's
now.
Dangerous.
Yeah. Naked, crazy guy. Wow. General butt naked. And yeah, look him up.
I hate to meet him in the woods.
Yeah.
It's funny because his name is General Butt Naked, but it's like, no, he'll fuck you. He'll fucking kill you.
Yeah,
kill
they,
you
yeah.
With his dick out.
Yeah, people were terrified of him. He was a scary guy.
He'll kill you with his dick?
No.
With his dick out.
No.
With his dick out. Fought naked.
Yeah.
You mentioned you're 55.
Yes.
And I'm curious, like, how has your sexuality evolved throughout your life? And have you noticed that your dick's functionality is affected at all by your age?
A little bit, but not crazy. Because I love, like, pills are great.
No, you have a great dick.
Thank you.
It works.
Yeah.
It's fabulous.
I've been lucky. Like, I'm not insecure about my dick.
I don't
dick
want
or,
him to be on testosterone or Viagra.
No.
Yeah.
No.
But you said pills, though. What pills?
I've taken, like, fucking, I've taken
like
Viagra and Cialis.
Thing, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've
now,
taken
when
Blue
you took
juice.
It, because Viagra doesn't make you hornier. It just makes you physically harder,
yeah.
Right?
Physically, like, that's putting blood in your dick, yeah?
I haven't taken them that's in probably. A long, long time, because I would take them a lot of times and then not even get laid. Like, just have it in case. Like
then you
a
just
fucking,
got a hard dick and
it
you're
was
like,
sex mania.
Awful.
So
yeah.
Sex obsession.
But how has it changed?
Just sit there with a hard dick and do nothing? Stupid
that
asshole.
That would irritate me.
Yeah, it did.
Like, what am I going to do with this hard cock?
But I've mellowed over the years, like, as far as thinking I needed the variety of people. Like, a lot of it's just greed. It's compulsive overeating. It's donuts. It's cookies. It's cake. It's fucking, it's consumption.
It's selfishness, too.
Well, a lot of prominent feedback that I've heard from men approaching their 50s or above 50s is that, like, oh my God, I could finally think about other things and I'm not just chasing pussy all day
men
and
in
thinking
the 50s
about chasing pussy.
Are the best men because they're ready to do something else in life than just trying to be this man of something.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
Like, my boyfriend, he's about to be 49. And I think he was like a man slut, which I love a man slut.
Yeah.
But sexy. He's
good looking singer. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Well, he sings.
Yeah,
yeah,
he's great.
He's
amazing. I love
his voice
singers.
Is, like,
he's great.
But he got out of his like sluttier phase when we started meeting. And when we started like dating, and I'm like, this is so convenient. Thank God. And, but I'm like, wow, a lot of my close male friends of like approaching 50, I'm like, they seem to be very relieved that they're just not thinking about conquering a woman all the time.
Yeah. Because you realize like, especially like I didn't get laid in high school. So you get greedy when you get older. And then when you realize it's addictive and it's not like, it's more about the idea of it or the concept of it or the dopamine. It wasn't about the actual physical.
And for you, it was like a battle to not be with people, I think.
It was, well, of course, but I'm like, if I can't be turned on by Nikki, like I'm so attracted to Nikki that I'm like, you have what you want here, so anything else is irrational.
Yeah.
Like it's a
and
lie.
Just reminding yourself that.
Yeah, like
the urges
that.
Are going to pop up all the time.
Of
you can't
course.
Control that, but like talking back to them is key.
Yes. Or it's like you have a Hershey's, but then maybe you want. I can't think of a white chocolate.
Just another chocolate.
A white lint.
You want a Reese's Pieces.
A white mint? What is that?
A white lint.
Oh, lint. Oh,
is it lint?
Lint chocolate. Truffles. They have the white,
lint truffles, yeah.
Oh. With a circle with a little soft stuff in the middle. So good.
Yeah, but
get that after, actually.
If I'm out doing anything else, it's about something else other than sex, because I'm very attracted to her, so it's not like, there's nothing else I'm looking for.
And how old are you, Nikki?
26.
You're 26. So also I imagine too, 55, 26, like, that energy, the youthful, I've never thought of dating a younger guy. And then Corinne did it a while ago. And then she was telling me about it. I'm like, there is this beautiful energy of people in their 20s that it's like, it's just nice to be around, to be honest. Like, it's just really nice. Mm-hmm. So that's another like fun perk.
They haven't been broken by the world yet.
Yeah. Having fun with me now.
Yeah. Like you have a vibrance that is, I would say,
it's part a 20 year old's vibrance.
Yeah. And it's
hot
great.
Bitch.
Yeah. Yeah. And just like,
cause I'm feeling old now. I've been talking about getting Botox and Juvederm. And once I start, it's over.
Fillers,
you can't
be
young after a filler.
I have,
so maybe
Botox,
I should break my youth soon.
You're too.
I won't pay for it. I told her I'm not doing it.
I don't care. I'll use the credit card.
But I think you're. But also, like, don't start, because then you're going to end up looking like not you later.
I know,
you know?
But I just mean like a little preventive, like no.
Elizabeth. Well, Botox
had.
Can be preventative.
Like, I don't really. Yeah, I started getting it before I got.
But
wrinkled.
Queen Elizabeth did it before some of her speeches.
Queen Elizabeth.
Does she look like a Botox face? No.
No.
No, but we saw how it worked out for her. She fucking dropped dead.
And it was because of the Botox.
Yeah, the Botox killed her. The Botox killed her.
They sent me autopsy.
Yeah. Not the
90 years old.
I wish that's what mine will say.
The age difference is a weird one, though. Like, some people are like, wow, he dated her when she was young. Yeah, I did. Fuck you.
Yeah, who cares?
I'm so sick of people. Like, what do you think? You're going to shame me for that?
Do you think this man did decades of comedy for nothing to not fuck the youngest possible woman?
I like,
have some respect.
Yeah, I fell in love with who I fell in love with. Like, I the last woman I dated who was quote unquote age appropriate. You know what I mean?
It was
like
a real
that,
drag.
And let's not pretend that I was out of church neither. So yeah. It's
no,
not really
helicoptering your dick. I mean, it was
after
great.
Talking to men about this and talking to Corinne about it, I'm like, oh, I used to think that an older guy that went off, like that was interested in a younger woman, like there was a grossness to it. But now I'm like, no, I totally get it. It's not just the youth, but it's like, there is this like beautiful rejuvenating vibe emitting from all young people. That's like just nice.
And they're more attractive. Let's stop pretending.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah,
you
yeah,
think
yeah,
I look
sure.
like a 25 year old guy? I'm not a fucking idiot.
Yeah,
and they're creative and they have new inspirations of the world.
You're not jaded yet. Yes. And it's like, it's a very valuable
They haven't
mindset.
Seen the realities yet, so they can still have.
But the last woman I dated who people would say is age appropriate was like in her, who's now in her, I'm 55, she's probably like 48 now. But literally a couple of months into the relationship, she's like, I want to get engaged
because
she wanted to have a baby. And the bottom line is I'm like, I'm wasting your time. I don't want children. Any woman who was in my age group, quote unquote, like in their late 30s, early 40s back then, wanted kids. And I'm like, I don't want a family.
You have a hot young wife, apartment, comedian.
Yeah, great career.
Tour, trans.
You're just saying
Norway.
Trans,
he can't make a baby.
He's living his
hair. Couldn't
no
get pregnant.
Baby.
Hair, dress.
I love it. No pregnancy.
And Nikki, how is it for you dating an older man?
I love it.
Being married to an older man.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
When he
so
holds
much.
His phone far away from his face. So you can see, you're like, that's my baby.
I do that. My eyes are getting shitty. I got my glasses. But she functions well with
I'm
an
so
older
in love
person.
With Jim.
Yeah, we do pretty well because she's not a club person. Like, we like the same type of things. Like,
that's
I really
great.
Do like the old lady restaurants and the quiet. Like, and she loves that. Like, I can't be with someone who doesn't.
Yeah.
Did you have any, like, before you actually got married, did you have any questions about or conversations about long term? Like, hey, I'm going to be really old. What do we do? You know?
Oh, who, Olivia Soprano?
Oh my God,
she'll say to me. You have no idea how many times she says to me,
I'm going to live the last half of my life by myself.
You're going to die before me.
Yes.
She, all the time.
I have zero family in America, and I'm like, who's going to get my jewelry box?
Right. Well, that's how you got to make those friendships, girl, solidify them. But no, there is something like I'm dating a guy who's older than me, and I'm like, probably statistically, you're going to die before me. And that's, you know, just, I say that more out loud.
What I say.
I just say that out loud so I can get comfortable with it. But then it's like, and then you live, you know, the last couple decades, maybe you date somebody, maybe you don't, but like, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's totally fine. Agree.
Yeah.
But it's important for me to tell Jim because I have never had a job. So I don't really know how to work anything. I don't have really a bank account.
Oh,
you do have a bank account.
Well, you cammed. You were making money. That was a job.
I was like, cam is like a very lucrative job.
Well, yeah, but I've never handled anything in my life.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So
are you handling things in your life now to kind of prepare? Because Jim, I mean, you know.
I try to tell
her
about
stocks. You're not going to be around for 70 years.
I cook.
Okay.
Yeah.
I clean.
I mean, you got a long ways
I
to
do
go.
Laundry every day. I'll do anything he'll ask me.
But it's one of those things, right? We got our bank account. I'm like, you have to learn how to handle finances.
Sure.
Like, because I will be dead before you. So I want her to be at least set so she doesn't get ripped off. I got to
give you a couple Instagram. There's this one woman called Her First 100K who gives financial advice to women, mainly women, but like the way she talks about it, it makes you get so excited to invest. And she tells you all of the bullshit scams to not fall for.
Yeah,
it's
and Mrs. Dow Jones too. Those are two great accounts. She's amazing.
I think I'm like number dyslexic. I don't know what the word is.
Well, I'm sure Jim has an accountant.
I do. Yeah. And you're not number dyslexic. Also
he's probably going to die before him again. So.
Oh, the accountant's old. Well,
Barry's older, yeah.
Well, but there'll be someone else at the accounting firm.
I know, you act like there's one person left in each field. One accountant, and
but
I have
them. I'm scared.
Him.
What if I get a new accountant and they're rude and steal everything when you're dead?
See, but
it
that's
has to
like
be a, someone who knows Barry. Okay.
But that's a real thought, though. Like, this is what I deal with. But what if they won't? If you don't sign up a power of attorney. Like, well, again, I try to help her with this stuff so she's ready.
I'll be lady of the house.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to die for a while. I'm 55. Yeah, I'm pretty healthy.
You got a long ways to go. You're a healthy person. But it also, too, like for you, Nikki, like just existing in a relationship, you want to feel like you have this independence, should, you know, just. For you,
security.
Right?
I have no family in America. I think that's a big part of it. I don't know anyone
that's
here.
That's scary. Yeah.
I have no one here but Jim. Jim is my only person and guardian in my life.
Okay, so we got to hang out more. We're going to get you a good friend circle.
Yeah, you need a friend circle.
Yeah.
And close friendships are like, the zest of life.
But
like,
now I've been doing so many things with him that I almost don't have time. We're going to go to Austin.
When he goes to all those road gigs that you're not going to be on, then you do it.
Oh my God, I would love to hang
out.
Yeah,
let's hang out.
We'll grab, do you drink?
Yeah.
Oh my God, the first comedian who's not sober.
Yeah. Thank I'm not a loser. God.
I want Nikki to have friends. Like, I don't want you to just have me. Like, because again, I have friends, so I want you to have people in your life.
It will all unfold.
Yeah, and I think one thing, like, societally that we've noticed, at least in America, is like, you know, for the longest time, we thought it was okay to rely on your romantic partner for every need you have. And it's like, when you think about it, that's too much pressure for both of you guys. And also, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket.
You know, Europeans would probably hate me for saying this, but I feel like Americans are so nice. They're the best. They're my favorite kind of people. Yeah. They're just so nice to me. Everyone's been so nice.
We're transparent. I think that's what I don't like about other places.
So, you know, people are going to be nicer.
I just
that is true.
Well, I just
33, come back and tell me.
Well, I just feel like it's been really, really nice. Better than I thought.
Yeah, honestly, people have been better than I thought too. Like once
I was going to ask, did you have any friends say some dumb shit?
A couple here and there, but nothing crazy. But I can sniff it out.
There's
certain people I look at. I'm like, what do you think? I'm at my age. I don't know how you feel, dummy.
Of course
I do. What do you think? I've been a living doing this for 32 years. You think I don't sniff it out when you're a little shitty about it? Of course I do.
This is also like anyone who's known you for, I don't know, 5 minutes. This is not like, no one's, who could be shocked? Like
the idea that we'll occasionally get compliments, fans are like, I didn't know he's gay. It's like, first of all, where have you been since 2003? I've been talking about this publicly for over 20 years.
Right.
If you haven't heard it, then you haven't been listening.
Yeah. And it's part of what your emotional intelligence is, the how open you are with it and how much you don't fucking
care. You've written pieces on it. Like, I mean, like, I would say you've been doing some groundbreaking work in this field.
I found out who he was because he talked about something transgender
on a Vice interview years ago. Yeah,
I was gonna say, did you know like who
I didn't know that he was a comedian? I just thought he was this
some
person
guy?
Of something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
a guy who had some trans expertise.
Maybe I'm so dumb. I didn't even know what comedy was. I didn't understand that was like a thing like music.
Who's this little fat-headed blinking man who likes a dick under
he
a
looks
skirt?
Like a penis. Wait, do you not have stand-up comedy, like stand-up comedians in Norway?
I didn't even know when comedy was, literally.
I'm
such a blonde.
No, they're very literal. The first time she came to one of my shows in Montreal, this is 2017.
Sure.
I didn't understand it was material. I didn't get
this guy
that.
I was talking to, he's a comic, and he goes, that blonde who was with you didn't laugh once. I'm like, yeah, she's from Norway. I got it.
That's really funny.
Yeah. But you just get used to it. The stare. But she laughs at weird things. Like they're just, it's a different button.
If I know it's material, I feel like I'm watching something on replay. Just knowing that it's material.
So you like off the cuff.
reality. Well, I get what you're saying, Jim, about like, okay. Russians have a very weird sense of humor, but I find Russian sense of humor so fucking funny. There's this Instagram account called Look at That Russian, and it's just Russian people doing shit that you're like, what are you doing?
Yes, they have a very similar mentality, I think, to Norwegians in the way neighbors. They approach being funny. Yeah, they're right next door to each other. But that's the mentality.
On the northern part.
Still, next door.
Hello, Russia.
Yeah. That's great. So
shout out to Russia.
Do you have any, like, I was going to say, like, do you have any future plans? But really, just live your life.
I have a future plan. And
that is singular.
To get a dog.
Oh, you know what I was thinking? I was like, oh, do you have any pets?
I really want dogs. A dog.
Jim, what are your thoughts on the dog?
With other dog owners. Like, it's a really social thing to have a dog.
I'm ready for dogs.
I love the idea of a small dog. However, what I don't like is knowing my wife, Elvira from Scarface, who would not be walking it. The fucking shades on. Jim! Oh, like, I know
that
I'm
going to
get stuck walking this little shit machine. That's what I don't want. That's what I don't want.
I walked a dog, and I'm ready for a dog. That's what I need in my life.
Okay, but wait. This is creepy, but I know for Instagram, you have a balcony, right?
I do have a terrace, and we could get a little wheelie pad.
Exactly. So if you get a really small dog, you can train it to do the balcony peeing. And I also learned, like, walking is not so much about exercise for dogs, especially like the little dogs. It's more like the sense that it's mentally stimulating them.
Yes.
So a really little dog, you can kind of just treat as like a purse animal.
I really want a dog.
So I think this is going to work out. But please adopt it. Don't buy it from like a rescue.
But the thing is,
no puppy mill.
Most of those are illegal anyway.
There's going to be no cruelty in the picture, but I've had so much baggage in my life that I don't think I can have another piece of baggage in my home. I'm sorry.
A damaged dog, emotionally damaged dog.
Get
a puppy. Get a puppy.
Yes. A puppy is okay.
Rescues have puppies.
A puppy from a rescue. Yeah, you can get a puppy.
A puppy's fine.
But will they be scared from before?
No, because they haven't, like, get one. Like, there's ones that, like,
they're fresh out the womb.
They will literally have it. The mom dog will have the litter while she's already in the care of someone who's not abusive.
That's adorable.
They usually announce it, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not like you're not getting a dog that has weird habits that you don't know. Like, did it guard a crack then? You know what I mean? You got to watch certain ones.
For sure. Just a dog.
Totally.
We want a hypoallergenic. Like, the little Cavapoos are very cute.
Cavapoo.
I would. Is that what it's called?
I don't know. There's so many adorable combos of dogs.
Yeah, that's Cavalier and then a
hypoallergenic breed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, my dog. I have a miniature wiener dog.
Harrison Greenbaum adopted a hypoallergenic dog.
Oh, did he?
Rufus. Very cute. You'll like
Rufus.
I need a little. I wouldn't mind it for that reason. I think it'd be kind of cute, but I know she'll let it on the bed, which I don't want. Fucking thing will be tinkling around with the bell. I know it'll drive me crazy. It's going to piss on my kiss posters.
With the bell.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Put your kiss posters on the wall.
I know, but I lay them out to flatten them when I get them all rolled. So sometimes we're in the living room.
How often did you do that?
Floor.
All the time, every day.
Yeah, there's a few kiss posters. But I know some dogs are going to walk over and pee on. Like, I'm just very panicky about a dog.
I
would get one for her.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, we'll do it. But I want to make sure you'll take care of it. And what about when we fly?
Like, hot tip. It's easy to get a service license and have the dog trained for a service.
Is it?
I mean, I don't know if either of you had any anxiety disorders or anything like that you would want.
Yes, I'll find something.
Yeah.
Aren't they not letting that anymore?
Emotional support.
Emotional support.
Are we going for can I pee or are we going for a few more minutes?
We got the wrap sign, so we're about to wrap up. Okay. Yeah. You can get a service license, you know, and do the training.
Like a legit one that will work.
Yeah. Because I have a service license for my dog.
He was trained
in touch point therapy.
So you
for
can
anxiety.
Fly with your dog?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, I might do it.
He's been flying with a small dog. Anyway, he's been on the road.
I would never put my dog
me.
Into things.
No, you shouldn't, but my dog isn't a service dog, and he just goes in a carrier under the front seat. Putting it with the luggage shouldn't even be legal. It should not be legal.
So crazy.
Also, if you actually look up the stats, so many dogs are dying, and they won't report them like very publicly, but it's completely inhuman.
Why are they dying? Is it the freezing cold?
Because underneath
it's not meant for a living thing down there.
Yeah.
And I mean, but unfortunately for some dogs, it's the only way they can travel.
Because they're big dogs, like a German Shepherd.
Justin Silver, who is a dog trainer, he has a giant pit bull named Brutus, who is just amazing. He'll buy a plane ticket for the dog. dog will just sit in the seat.
I love pit bulls.
But can you do that with a pit bull? You can bring it on if you buy the seat?
But it still has to be okayed to travel in.
Yeah. He sits in his own seat. If you got her in the country after all that headache, this dog shit's going to be
probably a little bit easier.
I want a dog in 2 weeks.
Seriously. Oh, deadline. Love yes.
it. I mean, what am I going to tell
I'm
you?
Ready
this
for
is wife
dog.
Life, Jim. You got to, you know?
Yeah, I know. It is.
Dog.
And I'm going to show her off on Instagram every day.
What are your thoughts on the phrase, Jim, happy wife, happy life?
It's true. It really is true.
But at the behest of your own happiness or like, you know, because I always heard that phrase and I'm like, yeah, but then is the husband happy?
I tell him that I've left my family and my country. I want to have fun every day.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah, I've
every
heard
day
that.
And your version of fun happens to be like old lady stuff, so it's his
yeah,
speech.
Yeah, but I've heard that.
Every day is a blessing, and I'm going to live life as such. I don't want to have depressing days.
Happy wife, happy life is true because it usually is like there's nothing that's going to sacrifice my happiness for her. Like occasionally there's things that cross over that I don't want that she
and
does.
When we argue, we always say sorry, even if it's after an hour.
Yeah, a lot of times she'll just go, just apologize. And I'm like, I don't feel sorry at all. But she'll go, just say you're sorry. I'm like, all right, I'm sorry. And I do feel like, better. Okay, cool. Like it does. Yes.
Yeah.
It does take some of the steam out of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want her to be happy. I don't like when she's sad. I feel terrible. So yeah. Me. Yeah. Yeah, I do love her. I'm very happy when she's happy. And we're doing our YouTube channel and it's fun. Like it's legit fun.
Yeah.
So much fun.
It's fun to watch.
Thank
I love
you.
It.
Thank
I love
you.
It.
I think she's really funny. And like,
very
by the way,
funny. She is.
Anyone
yeah.
who
so
thinks
much.
She stepped in to do this, it was my fucking idea.
Like, I right. didn't even want the YouTube show. I told Jim, oh my God, yeah. can we not?
Well,
this
no,
is
I know.
Really...
Knowing you, I'm like, yeah, no, it all happened because you were like excited about it. And I kind of assumed exactly what it was. Like, you were like, come on, get in here.
And it's
so
funny.
Fun.
Yeah,
the
like,
more
I
that
be funny.
I've been public now, the more comfortable I've gotten to. This is so much more different than what I did before. For, you know, so
right.
It's
well,
very personal.
Happy you're here.
Thank you so
yeah.
much.
Thank you.
Oh my God,
what would
you guys
like to promote and plug? Where
just
can we
Nikki
find more
and Jim,
of you?
NYC,
Nikki and Jim NYC
YouTube.
On YouTube, and the podcast is called Sword Fight.
You're going on tour.
That's so funny.
Sword fight, that's yes. fucking perfect.
Yeah, and episode 4 actually with Chloe
nice.
Is
Chloe.
Up now.
She's so funny.
She's hilarious.
Yes. Jesus Christ, that woman's
I
funny.
I love Chloe.
Yeah, she was great. She's very
it's her
honest.
Birthday tomorrow, right?
Yeah,
Eric's
like, yes,
Thursday.
It is. Thank you for saying yeah. that. I already knew. No,
we're
so that's all.
Austin
and my
tomorrow.
Gigs, if you want to come see me, but
you're going
YouTube.
To Austin.
But by the time this airs, I'll have been in. Yeah. When does this come out?
A couple weeks.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll probably be back from Texas, but yes. just go to my site.
Yeah,
if
we'll
you
put your
me.
Social media handles in the description.
Yeah, the YouTube channel.
You. Yeah,
hope
I
people
love
like
you guys
it.
And that couch, I almost want to bring it home.
That is awesome.
We built it ourselves.
Yeah, we built
really?
It ourselves. It only broke once.
Did you really?
Yeah, the real Amelia Earhart of couch builders.
Wait, you bought the felt and stuff?
Oh no! We didn't.
Thanks for thinking that.
You found it.
Well,
never
we bought
seen
it off Amazon.
We
didn't
put
it,
the
really?
Pieces together.
Yeah, and
it
was
came in a
harder
box.
Than we thought.
Yeah.
It wasn't just screwing the legs
but
off.
But we did it. We I didn't ask it. Anyone did for help. We didn't hire nope. a task rabbit. We were the task rabbits.
Yeah. Sure, one of the episodes, it you know, visibly fell,
yeah,
it but we fixed it.
Yeah, it was fine.
I
we
love
fixed it.
It.
Thank
how
you.
How dumb am I? Hey, so did you buy the buttons individually? You fucking asshole
I was like,
question.
No, we're not furniture makers, Jim.
But I love that you believe that we could be.
I did,
thank you. That was very complimentary.
I'm truly stupid.
Good husband.
Yes, very.
Thank you so much for joining us. This has been Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Guys We Fucked is presented by Luminary, created and hosted by Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson. Editing and music coordination by Mike Coscarelli. Theme song by Rob Patterson and Jake Kozen. Suck my wet ass pussy. Christina said to cut that before, but now it's in there.
Yeah, let's keep it. Who cares? From your wrist toward that's like a love your mouth as you murmur across the table. Different angle, all I could do is swallow, trying to let this one go. I swallow. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.